Well, apparently I don't deserve a comedy career either. There's nothing I love more. You're the second person in a week that's like, what I love about you is your terrible jokes. I'm like, well,
I get what you're saying. Literally compliment you all the time. Totally don't you saying. Do that to me. Don't you fucking do that to me, Todd Royce.
Okay. I'll stop.
Thank you.
How do you like the watch?
I mean, it's pretty good, Dr. Dre. Did you buy that in the trunk or at a, did you win that in a carnival?
The little claw machine.
How many quarters did you have to put in before they all right.
Sweet potato pod with Todd. Sweet potato pod with Todd. Sweet potato pod with Todd. Sweet potato pod with Todd.
What's up, everybody? I am coming to Boston, Massachusetts at Nick's Comedy Stop. It's going to be in November. It's the 22nd and the 23rd. Please make sure and get your tickets right now. I'm going to be all over Las Vegas and Austin before that, but the next time I'm really out on the road is going to be in November, and it's at Boston Nick's Comedy Stop. So get your tickets right now. So we're good?
We are.
There it is. Okay. So, hey, Jocelyn Sharp, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for coming. So, we were, now that the fake intro is out of the way.
I'm good. How are you? We haven't been talking for the last 20 minutes.
Fantastic.
I like that we both used our customer service voice.
So, how's it going? The show that we did, you were just starting to say that it was an unhinged.
Oh, my God.
Because I had to leave early because I wanted to.
Yeah, you were like, Jocelyn's up again. You literally leave before my set every show we do.
First of all, most shows we do, I'm hosting, so I can't leave as badly as I want to. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, so it was, you remember, you did the crowd. Mm. It was just a drunk Boulder City crowd. And unfortunately, I do a lot of comedy, and if you do a lot of anything, you're gonna have a bad day. You know, like how somebody at McDonald's might be like, you know, if you fucking ask me about the pickles one more time, like that was the vibe. Literally that guy who was like yelling at everybody that you were interacting with, like,
yeah,
I went hard on him immediately. And then his friends kept going, and I literally just had this breakdown, and I was like, you guys are a bunch of drunk pieces of shit, and this is our fucking dream, and we literally work at this every night, and you're yelling at me, and I'm just trying to do my fucking jokes, and I brought fucking jokes, and you're not even funny. You look like someone who would have bullied me. I'm like literally losing my just melting down completely.
That's awesome.
Having a full just
TMZ moment.
TMZ moment. Big time.
But you did the real life thing that Louis did on his show.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
You've seen that, right? Yeah. Okay. Well, then there's.
Which I watched it and I was like, never do that, Jocelyn. And then my brain said, we forgot about that.
All right. How many times did you call the guy? Though that's the
zero times. Well,
okay.
And it's also not the first time I've lost my shit on an audience member. I sort of have a reputation for that.
Yeah.
So. but it was the first time I was like really vulnerable and honest, and like, everyone was fine with it. Even the owner of the venue was like, you got him back after that. That was crazy. And I did, which is crazy to do. But also it felt a little bit like taking someone out for drinks after you punch them in the face.
Right. Because then at that point, you don't want to really entertain them. You want to be like, fuck you. Let's fight right now.
Well, and also I'm compassionate. So I also felt bad. I was like, oh, I ruined the vibe. I'm really sorry. You guys were having like a good time. And then I just made it about me in such a big way that now you're having a bad time.
That's got to be a weird inner turmoil, though, because it is about you. You're the one on stage with the light on you and the microphone.
Yeah, my face was on the poster, but I still can't live in that.
you're like, I don't want to make this about me.
But
how's your day going?
My people pleaser coming out.
Yeah.
That's the problem, is that I'm trying to like break that habit of trying harder to please. Like, I don't want that guy to come to my show. I don't care that if he doesn't like me. And he came up to me after the show and hugged me and was like, we thought you were great. And I was like, I want to fucking murder you. Like, I literally want to end your life.
Yeah.
I want to stop you from breathing. Please walk away from me.
I did a show in Austin
for legal reasons, allegedly. And
yeah, supposedly it was in Austin. It was nowhere near Lady Lake.
Oh, I meant about saying I was going to kill that guy.
Oh, gotcha. I was like, I'll go along with it. I'm a yes-ander.
Yeah, I love that about you, Todd, honestly. Yeah.
Yes, and... But I was doing the show at the Vulcan, and some dude in the front row, like, I was just going through a joke, and this guy was like, no, and like, people are laughing, the whole room, like, I was killing, but this one guy was like,
that's an inside baseball term.
Nobody wants to see that, blah, 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 whatever. And I was just like, what'd you say? And then he said it again. And I go, that's what I thought. And I called him a name that would, you know, luckily it wasn't being filmed or whatever. Not starting with an N. But anyway, I just want to make sure
that's clear.
But it
does end with an ER.
That's true. But then, like, and then, like, everyone cheered, and it was great, and then yeah. I went on, finished my set, and then later, as he's walking out, he comes up to me, and he's like, hey, man, you didn't have to go so hard on me, I was just joking around, and I just completely ignored him, because if I hadn't, I would have throttled him,
yeah,
because there was no joke about it.
Do you know what it is? It's the phenomenon of being at the movies and still having someone talking.
Yeah.
And just being like, are we not in a society? Are we not all grown-ups?
Right.
Were you not trained not to yell out at people doing a thing?
Yeah.
Or were your parents that neglectful? Like,
right. 'Cause
you need a hug is what you need, not to yell at me. Sorry, but screaming titties at a comedian, that's not what's going to turn your life around, dog. The unemployment line is like, yeah. And what's that mentality of being like, I was just trying to make a joke, man.
Right,
is every troll, if you follow me on Instagram, I post, anytime I respond to a troll, I post it in my Instagram stories.
Yeah.
Because it also goes to my Facebook stories and I want them to see it. But 9 times out of 10, it's just me sending their face back to them. But it's because men just call me fat and disgusting on the internet. But what made me laugh that's it. Literally every comment's like, I told a joke about my husband jerking off and it got 4 million views. And literally every dude is like, I would jerk off too if I was married to you. And I'm like, you would jerk off if you were married to anyone.
Right.
And yeah, also, like, this girl, Drew F. Wallow on TikTok always says it. What a weird fantasy that you think you would ever be married to me.
Right.
You were not. We're not going to sit in the same room.
Also, you're jerking off right now. Let's be honest. Like, this is what gets you off now.
Is commenting on women. Like, yeah. And people with, like, their kids in their Facebook profile picture are like, yeah, look at that big fupa.
Yeah.
What a sick adult you are.
It's so fun when they have the cross behind them and they're like prayer hands.
My favorite is to screen cap those like hashtag blessed, hashtag positivity. Yeah, yeah. And said, is this you? And a guy did that to me where I was like, he goes, the only talent girls have is for OnlyFans. And I commented back and I said something about, oh, I just said like, what's your talent? I bet it's nothing because you're here on the internet talking to people who don't even care about you. And like, I just kind of went off on him. And he comments back and he goes, well, you don't have to go so hard. Maybe you should learn some compassion. And before, I was like,
so
you're so close to the point, dog. Like, you're this close.
I genuinely believe that we've reached a point where, like, it's like the Sven diagram.
Mm-hmm.
Am I saying that right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't know that it's Sven.
Yeah, it's not Sven. It is Ven, but yeah.
Well, we'll edit that out.
I don't think it was a guy named Sven that was like, these thing and these thing, also these things. Like, that's not how the Venn diagram was created.
Venn diagram, that's right. we'll cut now. I can't look wrong on my podcast. No, I'm kidding. Obviously, we'll keep that in. But we've reached the point in the Venn
editor.
Diagram. We've reached the point in the Venn diagram where somewhere, like, victim mentality has met
bullying,
trolling. Yeah, bullying. Exactly. That's 100% where we are.
Why didn't you react positively to me calling you a fat, disgusting bitch? This is pretty fucking not compassionate of you.
Yeah.
It's like, well, bro, like, and the amount of guys that I'll literally comment their face back to me and they just start unhinged commenting back because they don't know how to respond to me being like, are you so fucking for real right now? Like, look at you and you're telling me that I'm disgusting. And then when I comment your face back, you're like, well, nice comeback, stupid, useless bitch. It's like, yeah, I didn't get you. I'm sure you're water off a duck's back with that.
It's weird that some people do it because they just want your attention. Like, oh, I'm a big fan and I like you. And it's just like,
they'll DM
why are you.
You
hating on
they'll
me?
They'll DM you after weird. And yeah, be like, weird. I didn't expect you to respond. I didn't expect you to see it. And it's like, I'm a human being.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that's weird.
I literally get these notifications. Like, I'm like sitting with my grandma talking about, you know, her family, and I get a notification. It's like, you fat, disgusting whore. You're the reason the internet's bad. And
sorry about that, by the way.
No,
I was having a bad day.
Yeah, you were. I you know.
No, yeah, that's the weird. Like, I don't have any notifications on. Like, I learned that through Facebook or whatever.
Yeah.
And then everything that I've had ever since, I never put the notifications on because I'm like, I don't want to just see that pop up when
have the constant toxic like input,
yeah,
of like what other people think of you. And what's crazy is most of these people don't even think that.
No,
like they don't even think that about, like, one guy I was going back and forth with him and he goes, well, maybe I was just trying to help you live up to your comedic potential. And I was like, you have a motorcycle helmet on indoors in your profile picture. I do not need help from you. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Like, that's the vibe of the internet. It's just men who have watched too many Andrew Tate videos. And then they go to Facebook and they're like, this fat woman is talking out loud. Like, doesn't she know?
When I used to do TikToks with Josh Nasser. Uh-huh. I don't know why. It seems like I bring him up every episode. I think I'm obsessed with Josh Nasser.
You might want to fuck him a little bit.
Well, a little bit, sure. Just the tip. But he and
up
I...
the shaft. To the balls.
To the straight. He and I used to do these lives on TikTok, and we would just roast each other the whole time.
Yeah.
This is when we were trying to, like, build up our tour and all this sort of stuff. And so people would come on, and it's like the opposite of what we're talking about, because they would try to roast, because we were always like, roast us, give us whatever you got. You know, most of it was lighthearted. But then some people just don't know what... A joke
roast is.
Yeah. So they'd just be like, what is this show? The Jew and the Fatty?
That's not a roast.
That's not.
That's just what your dad said when he came in and saw your MTV music videos when you were 12. That blows my mind. That's the craziest part about people coming to comedians' pages and trying to roast us. My favorite part is to say, LOL, my turn. Because right. I literally judge roast battles. Like, I roast people off the cuff all the time. Roasting is why I became a comedian. Roasting is my love language. If I say something fucked up to you about you, it's because I love you.
Yeah.
Like, that's how my family shows affection.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the fact that you're going to come, all your roasts are you have a fupa and you're fat. Wow. Guess what? I have a comeback for that one.
So your whole family roasting?
Like, oh, everybody? Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's always the love language. Like, I was called Mega Klutz Barbie my whole life because I have a little bit of that, like, dyspraxia thing or whatever where I, like, always bump into shit, or I'm always dropping things, or I'm always tripping. And it's, like, common in people with OCD, ADHD, all these things. And I literally was called Mega Klutz Barbie my whole life. And they would roast the sounds I made when I fall. My uncle used to hold me upside down and play me, like, a guitar, tickling me until I pissed my pants. Like, literally, I was bullied by my whole family. Like, bullied to the max. And my grandmother babied me, so I have a really bad God complex. It was literally, like, bullying. And then my grandmother being like, you're the greatest thing that ever happened. And all these people suck. And I was like, you're right. They do suck. And they are wrong. So it was a pretty healthy balance.
Yeah. Well, it's good. It's good if you have, like, I had that with my family too. And then I feel like my grandma especially, we were really, it would just be things like she'd come downstairs in the morning and I'd be like, wow, you survived another night or whatever. Just like stuff like that. Yeah. And then, and she'd say things back to me. Like, I'd be like, you know, I don't have a girlfriend or whatever. And she's like, oh, maybe drop a few pounds or whatever. Like, it was just like back and forth.
Yeah.
And then my mom was like that too. And I hate saying this because my mom watches this podcast every time, but it feels like at some point, maybe when she was a better at roasting me, it was okay. And now, you know, like when I, cause now
she
when I roast,
like it
yeah,
as much.
When I roast her, she's like, why are you being
mean?
Like that? Yeah. I'm like,
nah.
Yeah. That.
My family gatherings are, let's all try and one-up each other with who can make the whole group laugh the hardest.
Yeah.
It's why I became a comic.
That's
it's
awesome.
Like, all you have to do is hang out with my family once and you'll see, like, the way that we're all screaming over each other until somebody finally gathers the whole room's attention. We're just like a fucking feral group of banshees, little monkeys, just trying to be the alpha. It made me very funny, but also made me, like, very resilient to being roasted. So I think that's what pisses me off the most is about people just saying, like, fat, disgusting, fupa shit. It's like, dog, you don't even know what you're doing right now.
Right,
like,
right.
This is so child's play. It's literally like when a kid comes up to you and is like, I could beat you in a fight. And you're like, I could literally murder you.
Right.
So quickly.
Just easily.
But okay, yeah, you could beat me.
Yeah.
It's that same energy where it's like, I feel like I'm interacting with a toddler at this point.
Yeah.
And I would say it's a waste of my time, but I appreciate the engagement because I made a stack on Facebook last year. So thank you.
That's one thing that's something that they don't understand also.
Yeah.
Like, they don't.
One of them got mad that I suggested I was monetized.
Really?
He said, all women are liars. There's no way you're monetized.
How? It's so weird, man. That's another part of the Venn diagram.
Mm-hmm.
Is,
you got it.
Thanks. Is this now this idea that, oh, yeah, I know. I totally know everything. So I know everything. I can bully you, but don't hurt my feelings. Like,
right.
It's just, it's the weirdest. It's such a weird thing. I don't know. What the fuck are you people doing?
They're not going to therapy.
Yeah.
Or going outside.
Right.
Because I've literally never had the urge to comment something negative on someone's post.
Yeah.
Literally never.
You know what I used to do at my old office job? I used to spend the time on the city data board. Have you ever gone there?
No.
So city data board, they cover all, like any topic, and it's just a random message board that everyone can jump on. And I would go into the political board for whatever reason, and my anxiety would go through the roof because I would go on there stupidly trying to have a real conversation. Mm-mm. I'd be like, oh, I see what you're saying there. Okay, but the belief, some people believe this. So, and I articulate this whole thing, and then people would just be like, shut up, or whatever. And I'm just like, dude.
Not you trying to infiltrate the fucking basement incels from the inside. Yeah, what if women were people? liking your own post.
Yeah.
Fuck. I would never. But I grew up on the internet. I'm an internet kid, so I have a different like view of how I use the internet. I use it in the shadows. I lurk a lot. I don't comment a lot. I post shit. I post shit now because I'm like an active influencer. But outside of that, like,
yeah. What are you doing?
I'm living.
It's a very weird idea that people just think everyone thinks their opinion needs to be shared.
It definitely really doesn't. is not true.
No, there's no reason for it. Nobody gives a fuck.
My favorite comment I got on the joke I did about porn was it started a 600 or so comment thread from this woman who was talking about how porn is destroying the American family. And I think that's you, Todd. That's you. That's she's in the comments trying to convert the Dems.
What about the American family? Why are you watching 5 when you could just be spending time with your children?
When you could be homeschooling. ¿Por qué no los dos, Rebecca? Okay. Why not both?
Fuck. Do you guys feel that a lot of people kind of start to chatter a lot at your shows and stuff because of social media, and they want to be like a part of the shows and like crowd work me kind of?
Yes.
Yeah.
100%. Because they'll come up after the show and they'll say things like, I was helping. And I think that's a hilarious when you've never done something. Like, I would never like throw a baseball back at a baseball player and be like, got you.
Right.
Like, you're not helping. Like, you're interrupting.
Yeah.
Like, you were the only people you would do that to.
Oh, yeah.
You don't do it to musicians. In the quiet moments at concerts, you might get a woo or two, but you're never going to get somebody being like, my mom's got bigger tits than you at Bon Jovi, you know? Right. It's only going to happen at our show. It's just like very weird to me that we don't command any respect. And not that I think my jizz jokes deserve any sort of respect, because I know who I am. But I also believe that I have worked really hard and crafted these jokes, and I really want to entertain people with my show. I'm putting on a show.
Right.
And if I interact with you, then you get to be part of the show.
Yeah.
If you really want to be part of the show, sit the fuck down and shut up, because I'm going to move on so quickly if you're yelling out. And like, that's what people don't understand, is we just don't want... Literally, a girl came up to me. I made her cry because she was heckling me in Denver. And she came up to me after the show. She was standing in the meet and greet line, and she goes, can I meet you? Which was hilarious to me. I was like, yeah, of course. And I knew I shouldn't have talked to her, because this is the crazy part, is I want to have compassion for these hecklers until I talk to them as people. Because 9 times out of 10, they're fucking horrible people.
Right.
And she goes, we're like the same, you and I. And I go, oh yeah, how are we the same? And she goes, she starts showing me her Postmates history order to show me how much she eats. And being like, just because I'm skinny doesn't mean that we couldn't be friends.
What?
Jesus Christ. And I was like, okay, girl. And she goes, and I was just trying to help. I helped Doug Benson write a lot of his material. I said, you definitely didn't. Yeah, yeah. You definitely did not. That didn't happen.
Yeah.
I guarantee he has a restraining order against you. Like, or else you wouldn't be in the back of this brewery at my show on a Wednesday night.
Yeah, exactly. You'd be doing Doug Loves Movies.
Yeah, exactly.
I went to a show like shortly after I started comedy, just like doing open mics. I went to see Gary Goldman at Tacoma Comedy Club, and I went with one of my best friends. And after the show, we're going through the line, going through the merch line, everything like that, go up, meet him. And my friend looks at him, he's already been drinking, and he goes, you know what the Jewiest thing about me is?
No.
And then Goldman just like walks away. Like, he's not even going to engage with it. And for a long time, my friend was like, I can't believe I actually offended a comic. And I'm like, dude, no, you were just an asshole.
You also were just offensive. It's not that you offended a comic. You just offended all of us, actually.
Right.
I don't know if anyone's caught on to this, but we don't love the classifications of individuals based on race, sex, gender, or religion. We sort of wrote it into our federal law.
Right.
That's how much we dislike it.
Yeah. You know what the blackest thing about me is? It's like, it's such a...
Your watch?
Hey.
Am I wrong?
You're not wrong. That's...
Ready for topic?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So I kind of wanted to bring this up first. Yep, I know.
Love
we're
this.
Going gruesome. But I, as me, I was a, you know, Matthew Perry fan. And
he was my childhood crush. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Okay. My husband kind of looks like him a little bit, too.
I desperately wanted to be him. In fact, I was in love with a Hispanic girl when he came, when he did that movie, Fools Rush In, with Salma Hayek. Yeah. And I was like, that could be our story.
Little Todd just in the mirror.
I was 18 when that movie came out.
Oh, okay.
But the new thing they found is that, you know, he passed away, obviously, in his hot tub. They thought it was maybe, like, just self or suicide or whatever. But now they're saying five people, including two doctors, have been charged in connection with his death. So, pretty wild now. So they arrested two of his doctors, an assistant, and they're saying it's tied to, like, ketamine and giving him too much because he had addiction.
So what is it with these doctors and just being like, can't wait to accidentally murder a big public figure? In Hollywood.
I think that there is something there because, like, apparently they saw some of their texts or whatever and they were referring to him as a moron. And they were like, this drug that costs $12, we got him to pay $2,000 for.
Yeah, they're scamming celebrities.
Yeah, they're fucking, because, oh my God, celebrities, they put faith in their doctor. Why would they do that? Yeah, why would you do that? It's so.
I mean, to be fair, every time I go to the doctor, they're like, you're fat. That's what the problem is.
I mean,
and I'm like, so will that stop the bleeding or like, if I lose weight?
I had a doctor once. I went in because, like, I wasn't taking some medication. I was, like, having all sorts of problems and stuff like that. And my doctor was like, he, like, leaned down by me, like, I'm 44 at this visit. And he leans down. He's like, one thing also that will help. He goes, keep taking your pills every day, but also, just, you know, stay away from the cookies. I'm like, what the fuck are you?
Wow.
Stay away from the Oreo.
My grandma's doctor told her, my grandma's very obese, and my whole family is overweight. We're indigenous, so part of what inspired me to, like, get on my fitness journey this year is half my family's, like, dropped tons of weight and got really into fitness thanks to my cousin and his girlfriend. But my grandma went to the doctor, and he said to her, he goes, yeah, you just stop picking up so many sandwiches. I love old doctor solution obesity. It's just stop eating sandwiches. Yeah, that's how I got fat, doc. Yeah. Just eating a bunch of sandwiches. It's not inflation or the fast food crisis or processed food in America or the fact that we have completely different food standards than other countries. No, that's not it. That's not it at all. But yet, French people can be skinny, drinking wine and eating cheese and bread all the time.
And sticks of butter.
And sticks of butter. But yet we eat one carb in America and we're like, boy, I'm type 2 diabetes now.
It's true.
It is, yeah. This is, like, kind of started, too, with the ketamine therapy thing. I don't know how you guys have an opinion on that, but I think...
I'm very into psychedelics to treat mental illness. I feel like we have a lot of... work to go on the data, especially because most of the data that we have is for white males and only in certain age groups. So we don't really have a full spectrum of how to treat these things. And
what's the age group?
I think it's usually 18 to 35 in most of the data.
Then I'm out.
Yeah, you are out. They did say men over 44 are stupid bitches, though. That was in the study.
Sounds right. Somewhere on the Sven gallery.
Sven gallery. How are you getting stupider as this is going on? Literally hanging out with me will kill your brain cells. No, it will, though, because I smoke a lot of weed.
I am dumb. When this first popped up and they were like arrests have been made in relation to the murder of or to the death of Matthew Perry, I honestly was like, did Lisa Kudrow do it? Like, is that what we're going to find out right now?
Imagine being the most, like, besides Jennifer Aniston, I feel like Lisa Kudrow has actually had the most successful career after Friends. And imagine going after the least successful person. That would be horrible. I mean, even Matt LeBlanc had a HBO show.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I guess
it's such a terrible, that'd be such a terrible thing for Matthew Perry to be like, really? He got it?
Like, I was the, how you doing?
And I watched that show and, like, Schwimmer was on it and all the, like, everybody, but Matthew Perry was never on it. That's what ketamine does to you, I guess.
Yeah. But, yeah, personal assistants, I guess, was injecting into him right before. And you're right. They tried deleting all the text messages. And they actually are finding, like, a whole ring of them illegally selling ketamine to other, like, people and celebrities and stuff like that. So it's
kind of... Wow. Just so everyone knows who's watching this, you can go to any fish show and stand in the parking lot and yell ketamine and someone will have some.
Ketamine me.
You don't have to call a doctor. Like, you literally don't. Like, you can actually buy it from a high schooler, probably, if I'm being honest. K is pretty common, I feel like, weirdly.
By the way, I hate that I find this a lot in internet news articles, that last paragraph. You're talking about the man's death, and then Perry became one of the biggest television stars, starring as Chandler Bing on Friends, alongside Jennifer Aniston, Courteney Cox, Lisa Kudrow, Matt LeBlanc. Why are you giving the whole cast? Why are you doing, like, everyone knows who Matthew Perry is.
I thought you were talking about how there was 18 paragraphs about his death, but one about his entire career.
Well, there's that too.
And also the fact that on an addict's death, they put a Satisfy Cravings Here, California Pizza Kitchen ad. Both of those things are... offensive.
Yeah, good stuff.
But, you know, we could stay on the Hollywood trend. So, kind of pulled this up. What I thought it was kind of funny is that new movie that ends S with Us came in. The drama has done more than the film. So, Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni are rumored to be feuding.
Yeah, so my wife was saying something about this, and I was like, gosh, why are you talking to me? I actually asked her. I was like,
go piss, girl. What the fuck? Do you see that?
Wait, where
do
you see
that? The cast has sided with the go piss girl in solidarity. Why does it say go piss girl?
What is that?
Am I hallucinating? Or does that
Oh, there, I see it right there. Okay.
Does that say go piss girl?
Has sided with the go piss girl in solidarity. What is go piss? Can we find out what go,
yeah, what I don't, that is
go
weird.
Piss girl is?
Somebody hacked this article.
It was Baldoni. He was just like, you know what? I'm going to change it. She's
fuck
just the go piss
like,
girl.
You stupid piss bitch.
I was going to tell a cute story about my
wife. Sorry, no.
No, it's fine. It's because I didn't want to...
No, you were disrespectful about
her. Yeah, I didn't
want to
end
part.
On disrespecting her.
No. That's how you begin it.
That's right. You start with the disrespect, and then you take it back.
Then you smooth it over.
And then you go piss, girl. And then... No, because the movie's called It Ends With Us, and I asked her, I was trying to remember what the
don't
name
click
of the movie
on it.
I
Derek,
won't do
don't
it.
What is it? Is that the...
I can click on the go piss girl part. Do you want me to click on it?
Yes, of course. I have to pee. Go piss, girl.
Oh, it's a Gossip Girl shit meme.
Yeah, terrible meme.
Wow. Imagine referencing a character arc inside of a shit meme as part of your journalistic article.
Wow. And what about these notes or the comments? I cannot count the number of times I reference this meme. All right. This was a trend back in like April. You're late.
I don't know. People, I guess, like it, but I don't know. It's
that's really weird. But that's also so weird in the article.
It's like it's so alienating in 2024 when you don't have enough context to be part of a meme that a large group of people are.
Yeah.
You know, like it took me, I didn't know the coconut tree Kamala Harris thing for a while. And so when people were just like, you just fell out of a coconut tree. I was
what
like,
is the coconut
is this
tree?
A saying? It's a quote where she sounds crazy, where she's talking about something her mom said.
Oh,
so it's
okay.
A clip from an interview, and it went like crazy viral on TikTok, and then everybody was referencing it and making memes about it, and now even the social media teams for both sides are referencing it.
Well, you saw the one where she was faking the accent, right?
Yeah.
So she was in the South, too. That
great.
Was wild.
Yeah.
What's the J.D. Vance and the couch thing? Because I keep...
He fucked a glove in a couch.
Okay.
I mean,
that's kind of what I assumed it was, but I was wondering if there was
this
something.
Guy literally organized a slow motion photo shoot outside of a plane with seven of his friends. I don't know if you saw his staff photo, but it's like his wannabe Mission Impossible poster. And that's a guy who fucks a couch for sure. So
yeah.
I think that picture alone is verification that he fucked the couch.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe
but that's just coming from a childless Catwoman, so what do I know?
It'd be fun to get some ketamine going towards DC, I think.
Oh my God, wouldn't that be so great if we just like got our leaders fucked up on psychedelics?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know, because I recently got into psychedelics.
I can tell. I feel like you've tried to sell it to me three times today.
What, am I Rocky? No, I... We did mushrooms a lot in the past few months, me and my husband. I think that it's a bad idea, actually, because I was very confident on mushrooms. And I asked my husband, I said, record this. And then he goes, okay. And he video records me. And then I put on a freestyle rap beat and tried to freestyle rap.
Oh, boy.
And I fully did it with the energy of being like, this is my 8 Mile moment.
Can you pull that up?
I can send it to you.
Yeah. I want to see that.
I haven't watched it because I watched the first frame and then almost jumped off a bridge. Because I don't rap at all in the video. I just do a lot of, until I start uncontrollably laughing and almost piss my pants.
Yeah, you thought you were Harry Mack for a moment?
I really thought I was Harry Mack for a moment.
Harry Mack's amazing.
I love Harry Mack.
I love him too. He's amazing. Do you know who Harry Mack is?
Yeah.
Great. Fantastic artist, but yeah.
That was so patronizing. He's like, do you know who Harry Mack is?
Because he looked kind of like he was like,
I know you're 44, so.
Who was that other guy that we're talking about? The MC
Escher.
MC Hammer. No, MC
for
he's like he's the deaf rapper.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I can try to pull that up real quick. Yeah,
that'd be a funny joke if he was like, there's no snare in my headphones. Just like a callback.
That was like
MC Def.
Not MC Def. It was
It's like he was in like Africa or something, right?
I think so, yeah.
What would help
him? MC Baba, that's it. Yeah.
His first mute.
Mute rap. Oh, he's not deaf. He's mute.
How the fuck?
He's created a style known as Def Hop.
Oh, let me see if I can turn this on. But that is pretty much what
I'm not
going
to comment on this. I don't think the ADA allows me to comment on this.
I do feel like we just saw your rap freestyle. That's
actual footage of me rapping on mushrooms. Yeah. The worst part of me rapping on mushrooms is I'm wearing a silk tank top and bike shorts. Why, Jocelyn? What happened on
is
this?
Is that not the best part of you? Is that just what your mushroom outfit?
No, we were just partying, four of us friends playing board games, and I kept pissing my pants because I was laughing. And I finally got down to the bike shorts, which I almost pissed. That's all I had left that was clean. I had pissed in all the other pants.
Do you have like a specific corner that during the game you just throw everything?
No,
over
I've never pissed my pants before as an adult, but on mushrooms I can.
Yeah.
It's because it makes you laugh like you did when you were a kid. I don't know if you've ever done them, but like that's what I like about them is you literally get. Remember when you'd be at a slumber party and you'd be laughing so hard, you'd be like, oh, I'm going to perish. I'm going to literally die from this laughter and it feels so good and I'm full of serotonin. That's what mushrooms is like for me. Like I get really giggly and everything makes me cry laughing. And I was with my friends that I already cry laugh with, so we were all just losing our minds over every little joke we could think of, and so I just kept pissing my pants. Kept at it.
Any conversation that ends with a grown adult once, I just kept pissing my pants. It's the best.
Well, there just comes a point when you have to realize, like, I pissed my pants. Like, what I mean is, if you're gonna piss your pants. You're going to piss your pants. Like, there's no... You can't stop it.
Right. Yeah.
Once you feel it happening, it's not like you can be like, oh, like, I love watching people run to the bathroom and be like, I'm pissing my pants. And it's like...
If you're already doing it. Yeah.
Take your time.
Yeah. Yeah, I...
To give free weird fetish porn to the internet just then.
Internet doesn't have enough free...
That's fair. Yeah. That's okay.
I shit my pants once. I don't know if that helps. I've done it several times. But the last time I was I was leaving work and I was driving to a show. It was back when I was a wrestler. And I knew that I had to go to the bathroom. And I texted this dude and I was like, you got to like start setting up the ring because I'm going to have to take a shit. And then I sneezed and I grew like 3 inches in my seat. And I was like, you know what? Scratch that. I'm not going to be there until 8 o'clock. I had to go home. We can cut that story too. I
just had a WWE SmackDown in my underoos, so I'm gonna be late.
By the way, did you see Jesse Ventura commenting on the news? He went on the news to talk about how it's time for a woman president, which is hilarious to me. Not because Jesse Ventura is a feminist, but because
well, first of all, his voice
sure
is my favorite. But he was like, us men have fucked it up for long enough. It's time to let the women have. I'm like, are you about to fight us? Right. Is this a wrestling match? And my favorite part about him going on the national news to talk about this is he was wearing a T-shirt and a trucker hat.
Yeah, of
just fully dadded out.
I've loved Jesse's whole political career. I've agreed with so much of what he did in Minnesota when he was the governor and everything like that. But the thing is that once he left the office, he grew his hair back out where he could. It's all bald up here. It's long down here.
The Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. He still wears his tie-dye, the whole thing. And he does these interviews where he just rocks back and forth constantly. And he's saying things in that voice, in the Jesse Ventura voice. And he does not even attempt to make himself look like, oh, okay, this is someone I want to listen to. Like, so you're still looking at, like, that one right there, the sunglasses and the hat?
That's what he looked like on the national news.
Right.
Saying, it's time to let a woman run the country. I bet so many right-wing Republicans saw that and got confused, because when they saw him physically, they were like, yeah.
Here we go. Listen, everyone listen to this. Listen to this. It's like, Kamala's going to get it done. He's like, wait.
I'm confused.
Yeah.
His appearance on Theo Von's podcast was wild, too. I don't know if you saw that, but, like, Theo didn't even get to talk. Like, it was just Jesse talking the whole time, and Theo just, like, okay. But, like, off-the-wall weird stuff, but he's a character for sure.
Well, I mean, it is a lot of CTE, I think, at this point.
Well, I mean, the man lived, like, he was also a Navy SEAL, so he's probably taken many lives, so he's probably got the PTSD along with the CTE.
Literally managing... This is not disparaging to Burger King managers, but imagine dying as only ever being a Burger King manager. And Jesse Ventura has been a Navy SEAL, a governor, a TV star, a pro wrestler.
Starred with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Predator, yeah.
He used to do this thing he talked about once before.
He was so fine.
Back then, like when they were making that movie, he did this thing where he found out what time Arnold would go to the gym. And so it was like 7 o'clock in the morning or whatever. So Jesse would show up at like 6:55 and pretend like he'd been working out for a long time. And then he'd work out the entire time Arnold was there. So Arnold would leave and he'd still be there. And then he'd like drop the weights and leave. It's like just to show Schwarzenegger, just to show him up.
Ew.
Which one? Well, there's a lot of ew on that page.
So much ew. I take back what I said about Jesse being hot. This is the confusing thing about being a woman, because we still have evolutionary drive. Like, all the men who are really shitty, like, my uterus is like, but what if? My brain is like, no, but that's, like, the problem. And it happens to men, too. I've noticed this, is that men really like, or at least I've experienced it through my male friends, men really like toxic women.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
like, in a way that's, like, like, women like toxic men, do not get me wrong, but men like toxic women in a way that's concerning.
Yeah. Like, I think there's a lot of similarities, but, like, yeah, with men, there's so many different levels of it, because there's the old the fucking crazy chicks fuck hot, you know? Yeah. Like mm-hmm. There's that, but then there's also, like, you know, like, she like, I think I believe that a lot of women are like, I could fix him. Like, he's almost perfect, except for that one thing, I could fix him. And guys are like, I could fuck her up more than she is right now.
Wonder if I could take this broken person and break her into little pieces.
Right.
I think that there's a little bit of indoctrination, though, for men. I think that men have been, especially by, like, 80s and 90s culture and comedy, we're, like, indoctrinated, especially in American, like, sociological culture, I guess. I don't know what you want to call it. To, like, think that, like, oh, my wife's a fucking, what a crazy shopping whore, you know? Like, that's, like, been the punchline for so long that I think also men are sort of, like, if their wife is like that, they're, like, okay with it because they think that's the way it's supposed to be.
I think that's definitely true. And, like, it's weird because I've caught myself doing that a lot, especially since doing comedy. Because, like, I will tell anybody. I just had we had Rebel Lynn on the podcast, but I was hanging out with her at the Dirty. And I'm hanging out in Las Vegas at 2 o'clock in the morning with an adult film star. And we're talking about how wonderful it is to be married to our best friends and all this sort of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's almost like this thing. You're right. Like, when I go on stage, it just seems like the easiest thing to be like, and then this fucking bitch won't shut up.
And then everyone's like, oh my God, neither will my wife. Right.
It's like, right, exactly. I did the first podcast here. I I don't even remember what stupid joke I was making, but I referred to my wife as a bitch. And I immediately said, like, that didn't feel right. Like, it was like in the conversation, the joke. And then I talked to him and I was like, can we take that part out? Because that's not me. He's like, yeah, absolutely. So we deleted that part. And then when he re-uploaded the audio, it like re-upped it. Yeah. And I didn't know that until I got a call from my father-in-law. And he's like, could you not call my daughter the B word?
Yeah, of course he had to listen to the audio, like, not the YouTube version.
Meanwhile, my in-laws came and saw me do comedy for the first time at Sapphire. Like a million years ago when they saw me the first time, they came to Sapphire to see me at the Saturday night comedy show there.
So first off, they used to do comedy at Sapphire? I didn't know that.
Nights in the Mail Review room. We would literally be the show before the Mail Review. So people were really excited when we talked.
They really
loved it.
Yeah. What was your in-laws take on your comedy?
They love it.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah, nice. They're really supportive. My mother-in-law, every time she gets a little drunk, my in-laws are literally, I love them so much. I would do anything for them. Not only would I do anything for them, but they are two of the coolest people you'll ever meet in your life. They're like fully Midwesterners. And like my mother-in-law cooks the bombest food that is not good for you, but she's skinny as a twig because she plays pickleball and golfs four times a week. My father-in-law is a retired carpenter. They have a fully tricked out basement, but it was tricked out in the 70s and never updated. So it's like wood paneling, and they have all these old beer signs. They have a bar, and it's the best. But every time they have a big screen TV down there, every time we're having a party down there and my mother-in-law gets a little drunk, she's like, I'm going to put your comedy special on. I'm like, I will kill myself if you do that in front of all your friends. Yeah. I will commit seppuku and literally murder myself. So please don't do that. So she's very proud. They love that about me, that I roast, because their family's the same way. Like, we were all hanging out. My husband, it was his 40th birthday. We were just in Chicago to celebrate. My friend who lives in Wisconsin came out to meet us, and it was her, my husband, and my in-laws sitting at a table. And I said something about seeing my husband's penis, and my husband said something about, like, well, come on, my mom's here. And I go, what, she's seen your penis? I said, and she'd be more concerned if we'd been together for 12 years and I hadn't seen your penis.
Yeah.
And then his dad goes, actually, Kelly's the only one at the table that hasn't seen your penis. My husband is like, all right, I'm out. So it's just like, I don't know, I just love them.
That's great.
I don't know what caught me on that. Oh, because you have your father-in-law sucks.
No, just
I'm kidding.
Does not
I'm
suck.
Kidding. I'm kidding. This is why I like hanging out with Todd, because Todd pushes the envelope so I don't ever feel bad when I press the buttons.
Yeah.
I've seen people react to you though, because you are so good at being deadpan and sarcastic, that I've seen people be like,
I love
being
that.
Serious.
I love it so much. Somebody, a comic here in Vegas once, through Instagram, they said something and they tagged me in it, and I was like, oh, I didn't realize you were gonna be there or whatever. He's like, yep, I sure am. And I was like, I guess I'll still go or something like that. And then, like, he never responded. And then 2 weeks later I ran into him, and he's like, I'm really sorry, man, that I was there I was like, what are you talking about?
Listen, young comics, none of us are thinking about anyone but ourselves.
That's true. So that's so true.
Just remember that.
It's so true. I barely remembered you were going to be here.
Yeah, I barely came.
If I had a nickel for every time a girl said that to me.
I have to work on a new joke, because recently my husband and I had sex, and the guys on Facebook are going to love this. They really love when I tell sex stories.
Make sure and clip this. Let's get some engagement.
But what's like the worst way you've ever had an orgasm ruined? Like, I think it happens to men more than it does to women, maybe.
Probably. What the worst?
Like, we've all been like, heard our mom or our dad like in the other room, and that's fucked it up or whatever.
See, that's the thing.
Or enhanced it.
Like, for me, it would have to be like a self-induced orgasm, because like my mom, like I never, like it was never.
You've never fucked in the same vicinity as your mother.
Thank you for, yes, that's exactly how I was going to say it.
It was weird for you to say, I would never, because my mom.
It's like, my mom's there, and then like, not there, but like. So I'm sure it was something like that.
What about during sex? Like, has like a girl ever like slammed down on you, or like that happens where like it's feeling good, or like somebody hurts somebody or twinges somebody's knee, or
I've had my knee go out.
Yeah, and then that ruined your nut, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So the most disgusting nut ruiner happened to me with my husband. It's the funniest story. You're the first person I'm telling this to besides my best friend. I'm going to tell it on stage so my husband knows, because literally afterwards he goes, well, there's a joke. So we're having sex, and it's like at the moment where we're quite good at climaxing simultaneously.
Wow.
So we're at that moment, and I'm very close, and he's very close, but he's so close, and it's feeling so good that, and he's on top, that he literally drools into my mouth. And it like was slow motion, like I saw it come out of his mouth, and I was like, oh no, that's going in my mouth. And so then it goes in my mouth, and I immediately start hysterically laughing, and he's nutting and laughing at the same time.
Oh, that's the best.
So yeah, that's the whole story. I don't know where I'm going to go with it, but it's literally my favorite thing that's happened to me this month.
Yeah, this month.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
So every, like, you need to come back here every month and just, yeah, let us know how.
Tell you how my husband ruined one of my nuts.
Right. Yeah, exactly. By the way, hashtag nut ruiner is, I think, what we need to have on the in the comments.
Nut
when
ruiner.
You're, yeah.
That's what the guys on Facebook call me.
Nut ruiner. Like, I was totally getting off to Todd, and then you showed up.
Todd, turn around again.
Well, I think it's time to go off the Todd rope.
What does that mean?
Well, thanks for watching the show. it just hit me. It just dawned on me. Every guest has no idea what this is, and I'm like, all right.
No, well. One did. I'm trying to remember the guest, but there was one person.
Great, we don't even remember the one that actually watched.
Yeah, I got him. I'll look it back. But there was one guest that was like, "I'm excited for this."
This is like when you tell your kid when nobody RSVPs to their birthday party. No, someone did. I swear.
Where is that?
But we got a hat.
So what this is I used to be a professional wrestler, and
you never have brought that up before.
And you see, in wrestling, we go off the top rope. This is off the Todd rope.
I got the pun.
Because my name's Todd.
Good. I got it.
By the way, I won't even get into it. I'll just say that off air.
Okay.
Anyway, so what this is basically off the cuff, because these are all just, I don't even know what's in this bowl.
Oh.
So I'm going to read these. It could be questions. It could be topics or whatever. It's like a spitfire first thing.
It's just introduction. Fat, disgusting bitch. Damn it.
Just full comments from your people.
Okay. If you were given the opportunity to fly into space, given today's technology, would you take it?
Fuck no.
No.
I hate flying. It's like the biggest crux of like my dream being a comic. Like, I literally have to become famous just so I can afford a tour bus, because I fucking hate flying.
Yeah.
I fucking hate it. I'm terrified of it. I work through it because it's my dream and I don't like anything to ever beat me.
Right.
But I have to take a lot of edibles to get on planes. Sometimes I get violently ill from edibles because I have to get borderline comatose.
Really?
In order to not panic. Mm-hmm.
I would freak out so much doing anything like that before getting on a plane.
Edibles?
Like edibles, anything. Just because...
It just turns me into an iPad kid. I have my Switch and my Cheez-Its and I'm like...
By the way, I'm sure I'd enjoy it. I'm just like, my concern is that it would last so long that by the time I got off, I'd be confused on where I was at and what I was supposed to do.
Oh, I have been sometimes. Yeah. I have a joke about is the time my husband and I recently got off the plane. I was way too high. And he takes me to get a coffee to sober me up before we go to his family's house. Let me take my druggy wife over to this coffee shop. So the lady is like, do you want cream? And I go, no, sir. And she goes, I'm a lady. I'm sorry. I'm really high. I mean, I got so violently high on the plane this weekend. I got sick. And it happens to me every once in a while. I also have basal syncope. So like if I get too hot, I'll get faint and I'll throw up. It feels like I'm going to throw up and shit my pants at the same time and pass out. And so I started to get too hot. So then my basal syncope was like activated. And then I was too high. But what was offensive is when my husband called for the flight attendant to get me a pack of ice. Hack, if you get nauseous, a pack of ice on your vagus nerve will help. But
on your what nerve?
Your vagus nerve. It's the nerve over your sternum.
Did you know that?
No.
V-A-G-U-S. Okay. Not Las Vegas nerve, just to be clear.
I thought it was Vegas.
I know, you thought it was Venn diagram. So when we call the flight attendant for an ice pack, should I be offended that even though I was holding the air sickness bag, she brought me a full trash bag? She was like, that's not going to hold her to barf. No fucking way.
Probably be a little offended by that. That's okay.
Okay, cool.
If you had to be on a reality TV series, which one would you choose?
I'd go on make a wish, and my wish would be for you to have speech therapy.
Thank you. Where's my ketamine at?
I would love to, like, if my husband would be down, or like if my husband and I never met, actually, because I would be I don't want to touch anyone but him. But if, oh my God, I'm so sweaty. Do you see the ghost hands? Okay. Wow. Thinking about my husband drooling in my mouth really got me going. But
hashtag nut ruiner.
If he never like existed and we were never together, I would love to go on Love Island and really? Just be like fucking messy and like hook up with people and like, yeah, mostly that. I just want to touch boobs.
Same as Derek.
Like all bisexual girls who ended up with their gamer soulmate, who's a man. I miss boobs. Oh.
There you go. What's your biggest pet peeve?
Fuck.
Besides trolls.
I mean, that's not even a pet peeve, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't even irk me that much at all. I would say my biggest pet peeve is like conditional upon like context. Like my biggest comedy pet peeve is different from like my biggest public pet peeve. But I'd say right now, my biggest pet peeve is people who talk on speakerphone when there's other people in the room.
Yeah,
it's happening annoying. To me a lot in my life.
Yeah.
And one of the people who does it in my life, they have the notification set. So Siri reads them out loud. Like,
really?
Not like into their AirPod. Like
right.
Out loud in the room.
That's weird.
Yeah. That's super weird. Because like that's aggressive, actually. Like if you're talking to somebody and it just happens you're having a conversation, you don't think about it, that's one thing. But like if you're actively making sure that everyone's going to hear your messages, your texts, that's...
It's weird.
Yeah,
it's very weird. I think it's like people who were never like told, like, nobody wants to look at you.
Right. Yeah.
My mom would say that to me sometimes. She'd be like, nobody wants to look at you right now. And I'd be like, fair.
Yeah.
You're a real one. Got me. I was fooling myself. But not like in a bad way. She wasn't like ever saying it meanly, but she was saying it in a way where I was like literally like, mom, watch this. Mom, watch this. And she, like, you have to learn at some point that other people's time is not yours to monopolize.
Yeah.
And you are literally I have to pause whatever I'm doing and wait for your notification to read out, you know?
Yeah.
Where it's like, new email from adamandeve.com. Like, every 5 seconds. So, I don't know. I just find it to be so inconsterate of other people. Like,
of course. You're like, I'm sitting here trying to do a live on TikTok right now.
Yeah.
And now I got you in the background.
For real. I record TikToks in public all the time. Yeah. I'm the fucking asshole recording myself in the gym with a mic on. I really can't judge that. I guess I'm no different from...
But you've had an awesome transformation. Like, you've been working hard.
Yeah, I've been working really hard.
Yeah.
I have an injury right now, so I'm in, like, this mental slump. Because when you have an injury, you have to, like, slow down. You can't really go as hard as you want to. And it's kind of plateaued my progress. Not really, like, because I'm still making progress in strength and how I feel. And I would continue to go if I didn't lose another pound. But it's, like... I went from being somebody who felt like this all the time, as I do with my injury, to feeling athletic.
Yeah.
And that was a first for me in my life. And I'm really addicted to it. So I love it. I wouldn't go back. I'm fully a creatine juice head now. Not a juice head. I don't take steroids. Just apple juice head.
Next time you're on, you come in full back knee.
Just shredded.
Just voice like China. What's wrong with my voice? I'm a woman. No, that thing is a clitoris. Trust me. You guys see the Playboy?
Yeah. If you could trade lives with anyone for a day, who would you choose?
Ooh. I always want to say like someone rich. Like I would want to like just know what it's like to feel no... anticipation of the eventual lowering of my bank account.
Would you want like an Elon Musk rich or like
Athlete no, I rich? Don't want blood diamonds.
Yeah.
I want to have ethical fortune. Okay. If I could switch lives with somebody for a day, I would love to switch lives with someone whose nipples point straight. I've never known what it's like to have those. And I would love that. I would just love to not wear a bra and not have everyone in the grocery store go, that woman's mentally ill.
I mean, have you seen Elon's nipples? Because
circular.
Yeah.
Centered.
I mean, yeah, that's right.
Imagine being that rich and having such a shitty hairline.
Oh, it's got to be the worst. It's crazy.
Atrocious.
Yeah, Letterman used to always talk about that too, like his hair, and he was making like $150 million a year or whatever, and it's like, just fix the hair and the teeth.
For real.
Yeah.
Or like, get a cigar smoking lesson before you smoke a blunt on the biggest podcast in the world. Like, you look like an idiot. You look like I did the first time I smoked a blunt when I was like, I also listened to Snoop Dogg. You know, like a fucking nerd.
So the next time we see each other will probably be at Skankfest.
Or Saturday. We're going to show together Saturday.
Well.
Are you leaving before my set as usual?
No. I got to try to sell merch. But this won't be out until after that.
So. Oh, okay. Well, the next time we'll see each other is at Skankfest.
Skankfest. Is this your first Skankfest?
It is. Yeah. I'm really excited. People ask me every year because obviously my reputation is that I'm a dirty comic. I really deplore that sort of classification as comics, but whatever. I'm a dirty comic. So like when Skankfest started coming to Vegas every year, all my friends all across the country were like, are you doing Skankfest? Are you doing Skankfest? I didn't get in. Finally got in. So
yeah, it's going to be fucking cool. Yeah.
I'm excited.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun. What other dates do you have coming up? This will come out in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So,
September 6th and 7th, I'll be in Colorado Springs at Looney's Comedy Corner. That'll be a fun little time. I always have the best time with my Colorado Springs weirdos. And then September 12th, 13th, and 14th, I'll be in Sacramento at Laughs Unlimited. And then, this will be past. Never mind. Keep your eye out for my Don't Tell Comedy digital set. It's going to come out at some point. I'm recording it in 2 weeks.
And your special is on YouTube?
Yeah,
and
you can watch it. YouTube is the best place to support me because if you don't know this, all the other platforms do not give us any money. They give us some, but it's not like a lot. Yeah. But YouTube pays the best and it gives us the best return as far as like algorithms go. So you can watch it on YouTube. But if you want to watch it on Tubi, you can. You can also watch it on Amazon Prime. If you really want to support me, buy the album on iTunes. But yeah.
Perfect. And it's called, I always get the numbers mixed up, but it's called
510 280.
That's what I was saying. 510 280.
It's my height and weight that I was.
Yeah.
I know. And I actually got above that. I got to over 300 pounds at the end of last year. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I kept growing. Every album, I'm just going to be taller and heavier.
The next one's 6'5, 420. 420. 6'9, 420. That's mine. That's what I'm going to do next.
6'9, 420. See, that's why I don't deserve a good comedy career, because that made me laugh the hardest in the whole podcast.
Well, apparently I don't deserve a comedy career either. There's nothing I love more. You're the second person in a week that's like, what I love about you is your terrible jokes.
I'm
like, well,
I get what you're saying. Literally compliment you all the time. Totally, don't you do that to me. Don't you fucking do that to me, Todd Royce.
Okay, I'll stop.
Thank you.
How do you like the watch?
I mean, it's pretty good, Dr. Dre. Did you buy that in the trunk or did you win that in a carnival?
The little claw machine.
How many quarters did you have to put in before they all fell down and you got the watch? Thank you
for joining us this week at the Sweet Potato Pod. Jocelyn Sharp, you're awesome.
Thank you for having me. This was really fun.
Awesome. You need to come back again.
I would love to.
Okay, perfect.
Hang out with you anytime. Derek.
Derek will be, well, he's got to be here because I can't really do the show without him.
You still got to look at me. I'm sorry.
No, I love you, Derek.
Thanks, Jocelyn. Thanks, everybody. Like, comment, subscribe.
Later.